Welcome, everybody, to episode 294 of WordPress Weekly for Wednesday, November 15th, 2017. I'm your host, Jeff Chandler, joined by John James Jacoby, who is not the world's sexiest man alive. Unfortunately, that's Blake Shelton.
Not anymore.
Oh, yeah, not anymore. That's right.
Sad times. I was very brokenhearted when I got that news, but here we are. I think I got something to work on. You know, patch is welcome.
Patch is welcome. Okay, so great to be back with y'all. We didn't have a show last week due to straight line wind damage. They found out it wasn't a tornado. It lost all their pine trees in my front yard. It was a scary situation. Hobbled to the basement, and then within a few minutes, next thing you know, all these trees are down. Lost power for a good 30 something hours. Had to have a tech come out, fix some internet connectivity issues, and John was somewhere off in the yonder in the Rocky Mountains in Colorado. I don't know where. But it kind of worked out, and now we're starting to process. This is the second time this year I've had to cut pine trees, but now I have no more pine trees because they were all blown over by 800 to 100 mile per hour straight line winds, which could do just as much damage as a tornado. So that's what I've had to deal with. That's why we didn't have a show. But today we have an action-packed show lined up for you today with an awesome guest on who has been on the show since March 24, 2016, episode 227 to be exact. His name is Topher DeRosia, who just happens to be a Christian, a husband, father, and a WordPress developer. He's making things for Eyewitness Design, building HeroPress, and as we'll find out here in a little bit, he's also got some other projects he's working on. Topher, man, thanks for joining us from up there in the great state of Michigan.
Thanks for having me. I forgot that today is actually a holiday in Michigan.
Today's the opening
day of deer season.
Oh, it is. Yeah, Wisconsin too, for sure.
So same thing in Ohio. So
about half the population of the state took the day off and is hiding in the woods somewhere with a gun.
Ah, great. So I can't wait to see all the news stories about the people who are accidentally shot.
That's right.
That always happens.
Every year.
All right. So great to have you back on. It's been a little while. Last time we had you on, we learned about the sort of genesis about HeroPress. So we're more than a year into it. So why don't you tell us a little bit about what's going on over there, HeroPress, what you have in store and some of the changes you made over the past year.
We are almost 3 years into it, believe it or not.
Okay. Time flies.
Around a long time. Yeah. It's weird now. People say, I did my essay years ago. I think, wow, really years? Yeah. So not a lot has changed. Mostly just doing the essays one after another. But I have some pretty exciting ideas for the future. I haven't fleshed them all out yet. Just when I think I have everything nailed down, I have a long conversation with somebody wiser than me, and it all changes. And I think, oh, man, now I can, it's all going to be different now. And, I get everything all lined up, and I think, oh, no, we need to do it this other way. So I have three or four big projects that involve that are probably going to involve a lot of people.
Well, tell us a little bit. You're accepting donations now. Tell us a little bit about how that came about and maybe even your reluctance to put up the donation page, because I think that's something a lot of people struggle with. And by the time they get around to actually feeling like they're able to do it or convinced that it's a good idea, maybe they missed a boat or something.
Yeah. Yeah. Probably every 2 or 3 months, somebody says to me, "Hey, where's your donation button? I want to throw some money in there." And for a long, long time, I really wanted to stay away from money altogether. It's a labor of love. Part of it is that I want it to be from the heart. Part of it is that I don't want to get in trouble with the feds. You don't deal with money, and it's not a problem. But enough people said that I should have one up, and I actually partly wanted to do it just to support the Give folks with the plugin, provide some visibility for that plugin by putting up a form. And I had several people say, that's cool, but I use Patreon, and it's really a lot easier for me to give that way. So I did both Give and Patreon, and I put them up, And boy, I got probably 10 or 12 donations within about 36 hours and nothing since.
That's, I understand how that works.
So, yeah. So the people who wanted to did, and then it's done. So somebody I admire pulled me aside and said, this is somebody from a large WordPress agency who would theoretically be a larger donor. And she said, if you want to interest people who want to give larger donations, you need to be a lot more specific about what you're going to do with the money.
Mm-hmm.
We're not just going to give you money to go to Disneyland just because you're a nice guy. Right. We want projects. We want goals. We want this, that, and the other thing. And so, as I mentioned earlier, I have a bunch of ideas now. And so, you know, I'm thinking about what I'm going to do with EuroPress, where I want to go, projects that can be done, that sort of thing. And, you know, the ideas keep changing. So at some point, you know, I'll probably always just leave a donor button up there because somebody's always going to want to say, hey, I want to give you $5. I'll say, sure, there's the button. But the whole idea of giving money to HeroPress is going to change to be much more project-oriented, that sort of thing.
So I'm
HeroPress is going to need a roadmap.
Yeah, no kidding.
Yeah, yeah.
I noticed on the sponsorship page that hosting is a part of you have some support from the folks at Pagely.
Yes.
And so did you notice a big jump in reaction or traffic or just general contributions or anything since being linked to in everybody's WordPress dashboards?
Oh, yeah, that came about during a conversation between Jeff and Matt. And Jeff said, hey,
oh, is that me?
Okay. Yeah, HeroPress should be on WP Planet. And Matt said, okay. And he never talked to me. He never said anything about it. But about 2 weeks later, on a HeroPress day, my stats were suddenly 100 times higher than usual. I'm like, what the heck? And it turns out, yeah, I was on the dashboard. And I am only now, what was that, last November?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm only now starting to see traffic get back to what it used to be.
Wow.
And so I've lost that punch from being on the dashboard. And I don't know why. It's really interesting. A few things have changed since then on the dashboard. It used to be when people clicked on a link in their dashboard to go to HeroPress, the referrer was their own site.
Mm-hmm. Boy, I saw a lot of interesting domains through the stats back in the day.
Yeah. Huh. Right. Yeah, I found some really cool websites, places that I never expected, you know, veterinarian offices in Saudi Arabia.
Probably also lots of really interesting sites that were still in development.
Yes, many, many, many WP Engine staging servers and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
Boy, I don't know, 3-4 months ago, they changed that. They changed the Google string on the link, and now it simply says RSS. And so every single person who clicks that is from RSS, which, you know, I can appreciate the privacy aspect of it, but it was really neat seeing all those domains.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. And also in the referrers for Google, what's the, they changed it now to where you can't really see too many of the websites now that people are clicking links on that refer to your site. It's some sort of cloaked string, whatever it is, or some default referral link. I don't know what it is, but it kind of sucks now because that's one of my favorite things about analytics is going in and look at the referrals and you click in the link and say, oh, wow, somebody mentioned me at this forum or at this particular comment link, and then reading the discussion to see the context on how your article or website was linked.
Absolutely.
That's sort of gone away now with Google adding these cloaked referral things.
Yeah. Yeah, that was really cool. I liked it a lot. I'm a huge stats nerd. I watch all the time. On Wednesdays when we publish, I keep Google Analytics up, and I watch the bubbles pop up all over the place. And Rarst always gives me a hard time. He's like, dude, stop paying attention to the stats. It's not healthy. I'm like, oh, but it's so cool. Look, oh, look, somebody from Indonesia.
Well, I'm glad you've got the donation link up, and I'm glad you're starting to get a little bit of financial support for Hero Press, because it's an awesome contribution to the WordPress community, and to sort of highlight how awesome it is to the community, there's an article that was published a few days ago called "The Value of Hero Press for the WordPress Community" by Anna
Segata.
Anna Segata, and she talks about how it's been inspiring to her and reading the various stories, and what I thought was really cool was all the quotes from members of the WordPress community on what Hero Press means to them and to the WordPress community. And there were some pretty inspiring things there. And, I just kind of wanted to know, I mean, if I'm you and I'm reading that, I'm like getting goosebumps and all tingly, like, wow, that's great to see. But I mean, what was your reaction after reading some of the things that people said about the value of WordPress or value of Hero Press to the WordPress community?
It was exactly that.
You like to cringe. Your heart grew three times. Yeah. So big.
The article was cool. I really liked that. Anna's a wonderful person. Number of quotes and the things they said was really, really special. It meant a lot.
I may or may not have listened to a podcast that was recently published and went live with our friend Matt Mullenweg, where he sung the praises of what you're doing with Hero Press and it being in the dashboard and loving what it is that you're working on. So I know that we are not alone. Jeff and I are not alone in admiring all of the work and essays and everything that are happening and going on.
And by the way, excellent work with the Kim Parcell article. That was cool to contribute to, and that was a great dedication to her memory on Hero Press.
Thanks. Yeah, I've been trying for years to think of a good way to get that done, because she's the perfect Hero Press contributor. You know?
Yeah.
I mean, just nailed it, and she was lost to me, and she was not lost to everybody who remembers her so well.
Yeah, it was a great contribution. So outside of Hero Press, you've got some other projects that you're working on. You're always busy. I mean, never a dull moment in the life of Topher DeRosa. Tell us a little bit about, I mean, are you still involved with training materials for Always Training, or if you are, what other video training materials are you doing these days?
Yeah, doing a variety of things. The video training world is changing. OS Training is moving a little bit away from just general information to doing very specific, I don't know what you call it, video series. For example, I'm working on one right now for WPML. And we did a series on how to set up your website from beginning to end. But we used GoDaddy as the host. And so there was a lot of their tools built in and stuff like that. But then, excuse me. Maybe 6 or 8 months ago, Bryn Wilson from England, from Winning WP, got a hold of me and said, hey, I'd like to do some videos with you. And so we did three of them just to see how it went. And it went very well. So he decided to spin up a YouTube channel of just WordPress videos and asked me to do all of them, a year's worth. He wanted about one a week for a year.
No pressure.
Yeah. but, you know, it surprisingly, it was low pressure because his target audience is super beginners, people who may not have used the internet before and read words in the newspaper and wonder what they are. There's one, let's see here. I had it pulled up just a second ago. What is web hosting? And then there's also one, what is WordPress hosting? How to, there's my favorite one, how to log into WordPress. And so these are things I know deep down, inside and out. And so to make the video is not that hard. Quality was really, really high, really important to him. So we got Stacy, who makes the slides for HeroPress, to make slides for these video series. And they're amazing. She's a wonderful artist. The lots and lots of dynamic fonts. So it always reminds me of a newspaper from 1870 or something, you know, where they got
That's cool,
you know? 18 fonts on a page.
Mm-hmm.
And so... So these are they're fun to make, they're easy to make, but I had an epiphany several months ago, and I realized there is an entirely different audience than the rank beginner, and that audience is me, because I work with Tanner Mouche at Eyewitness Design, and we build websites for people. So we built a site for a place here in town, here in Grand Rapids, and I went to their office, and I sat down with the lady who was going to manage the site, and I walked through everything with her. How to log in, how to create accounts, how to make a post, all that stuff. And about a month later, she emailed me and said, I haven't touched it ever since. Can you remind me how to log in? And I started to tell her, and I realized, I've already done this. Not only that, it's beautiful. And so I sent her the link to this video on how to log into WordPress. And I didn't have to think about it anymore. I didn't have to spend 20 minutes writing an email. And she wrote back 20 minutes later and said, hey, that's great, but I can't remember how to make a web page.
Mm-hmm.
So I sent her the link to the video, how to make a page. And it saved half an afternoon.
So it's like video documentation.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And I've used it probably a dozen times since on other clients. There's one, how to add, change, and delete navigation menus. So somebody says to me, hey, you know, how do I add the home button to my nav? I just send in the video, and I don't have to worry about it anymore. And I haven't experienced that flexibility as a developer from any other training series. Mm-hmm. People will come to me and say, hey, how do I learn WordPress? And I say, oh, there's a ton of video training for that. You can go to OS Training. You can go to WP Beginner. You can go to, you know, any number of places, WP 101. And they'll teach you how to do WordPress. But when somebody comes to me and asks a specific question, how do I do this? You can't send them to those places per se. Some of them you can, but this feels like a new kind of video series to me. And I'm really excited about it.
It reminds me of like every single one of the home improvement videos that I've watched since buying a house.
Where, yes.
Where they're all like really simple things. But if you don't know how a water softener actually works, and you don't know how much salt you're supposed to put in it, or how the brine tank works or whatever, you're like, oh, well,
how to put in a doorknob.
Right.
Doorknobs are incredibly simple. But if you don't know how, you're lost.
Yep.
I think that's one of the, maybe, I don't know, difficulties, or maybe that one of the secrets behind being a great trainer is being able to explain without adding in the assumptions that these people may already know about these certain things, like the little tiny details that are obvious that you may think people already know about, you actually explain in detail because they may not know about it.
Yep, they may not know.
So, I mean, so one of the things, I don't know if this is public knowledge, and I thought it was kind of funny, and it kind of relates to WordPress development in general and trying to keep up with training people on the latest and greatest of WordPress features. But I think it was always training that did they had a video series going on Jetpack, and Jetpack changes so much between version to version now that I think maybe does it become cost or time prohibitive to keep doing videos on that?
Yeah, exactly. Probably 2 years ago, I did a series on Jetpack, and I covered every single element. I went through every module, every
that descending. Took a long time.
It was probably 30 videos, and it was really expensive to make because there were so many videos, because there's so much content. And 6 months later, they changed the UI. And the whole thing was shot. And I think I did a second series. And then after that, Steve at OS Trading said, never again. We're not going to do that. Because the UI changes so fast that to do comprehensive coverage on the entire plugin is pointless.
Mm-hmm. Lisa Sabin Wilson has said the same thing about the Buddy Press for Dummies book that she did, that originally sales and the excitement was really high, but then we refactored and reimagined the way the default theme looked and all these things.
Killed the book.
Not on purpose, but you know, I've been feeling that guilt for it feels good to get that out. Lisa, I'm really, really sorry.
I mean that's the Achilles heel of both print, which isn't the easiest thing to update. I mean, there's new revisions you can do, but I mean, that's the Achilles heel of doing that type of training and documentation for software that evolves so quickly.
Yeah, it really is.
So I wonder how it's going to be for you when Gutenberg comes to actually gets merged into WordPress. You know, those video tutorials would be fun.
Jeff, I thought you were going to say when Gutenberg comes to town, and I was about to.
we're going to go into that Gutenberg, when the Gutenberg poem.
Like, yes, right, the night before Christmas.
Uh-huh. Oh, that's a good poem.
I suspect that when Gutenberg gets released initially, there'll be a big flurry of video series.
Of anger. Well, video series, but.
Training series. And then a month later, the UI will change because we will have learned so much and everybody will kick themselves
very quickly.
And then there won't be any for a while. Huh. And no one will know how to use it and it will fail utterly. No, I didn't.
This dystopian Gutenberg universe that you live in is one that I am not looking forward to. We're living in like the bad 1985 Back to the Future timeline right now. We need to get back. We need to get the good future.
BIFCO Industries.
Oh, BIFCO.
Dr. Emmett Brown has been committed. I love that scene. Anyways, I can hash out all the lines in the movie, but yeah, I mean, training as Bob Dunn over at Bob WP, I thought it was interesting. He created that poll not too long ago about the best ways that people enjoy their training. And it's still readable content like print on the web, but video was actually pretty high up there as well. So, I mean, it's still one of the, maybe for a lot of people, preferred ways of learning things, learning content, learning how to do things.
Yeah, it's pretty funny. I don't think there are very many people who are ambivalent about it. I very often see people just rant outrageously against video training. They're like, just give me the text. I just want to read it. And other people who say, I just need a picture. Just show me.
I want the video, but I don't want all of the things that come with like the stereotypical YouTube video that like we all know are like a problem. Like the 30-second intro that doesn't help me understand what the problem is, that reminds me to subscribe for updates and click here and there for this other. I just don't want any of that. Show me the thing that I want to know, and then I will subscribe to you if you've shown me the thing that I need to know. Yes. I don't need to be reminded that like you need my support. I know you need my support. I want to support you. But in order for me to do it, I need you to show me the thing that I want to see.
So that's another cool thing about the Winning WP ones. They're not sponsored by anyone. They're no paid videos whatsoever. And so there's no requirement or restriction to say anything like that. We're not making money off the YouTube channel. And so number of subscribers is... I mean, it's nice, but it's sort of irrelevant. Okay. We want people to watch them, but it's not like the world's going to get better if we get a million subscribers or anything. And so there is no big, long lead up. Mm-hmm. And the only thing at the end, every one of them ends with a little trailer that says, if you'd like to learn more, go to winningwp.com.
Right.
And I'm just curious, using YouTube, I know they have built-in tools and stuff. And even if now, to John's point, sometimes you want to read the comments on YouTube because they'll have links directly to the part of the video that's the most relevant, you know, the reason why people are going there to watch that video. What kind of tools does YouTube have that you take advantage of to make it easier for people to go to certain parts of the video? Or, I mean, do you use annotations to provide like tool tips in WordPress? Do you do any of those with your videos?
No, we don't do much tool tips. We don't do much timeline pointing out. We make a lot of links in the conversation, or in the description about where to get more. But one thing that we do that was very important to Bryn is they're all captioned.
Nice. Yep.
100% captioned. So I do that part. I don't edit. I hire a guy to edit, but I do the captioning. So he sends me the MP4 and I upload it to YouTube.
And are they transcripted too? Do you know?
What do you mean by that?
Is there a transcripts available for the content in the videos?
I don't make it available. Does YouTube make it available?
I don't know if YouTube does that. I don't think YouTube does it automatically, but
I don't think so.
But there's captions and I don't know. It's just something more the accessibility minded folks would appreciate.
We briefly looked into translating into multiple languages and got essentially zero traffic. And so Bryn was paying a translator to do that, and that didn't make sense.
Mm.
Gotcha. So we quit doing that.
So where can people find this YouTube channel?
You go to YouTube and you search for Winning WP, and it's the top one.
Excellent. All right. So go ahead.
There was something you mentioned about Bob. I wanted to circle back a little bit to the donations thing. After I went up with the donations, Bob sent me a nice long email about his experience with trying to run a donor-based project. And essentially, he said it doesn't work. And so something I'm excited about doing with HeroPress and Bob and possibly John and other people who've tried to do donor-based projects is to release a lot of data 6 or 12 months from now about what happened, what happens when you try, what kind of support do you need from people, and how do you get it? HeroPress has a lot of love, and I thought maybe that would do it, and it apparently has not. And so what is it that drives somebody to support a donor-based project? If it's not love, what is it? Is it?
Well, what is it, John? What, don't you have the answers? You got 50 grand from us.
I got several grand, and then Uncle Sam got several also.
Yeah, several. Maybe several.
For the WordPress community and ecosystem and all of it, it is a really, I don't know what the word is, it's a very kind of tender subject in a way, because we are a majority of volunteers or volunteer generous with our time, and so asking for money in the spirit of giving back is a fuzzy concept for our group. Whereas if you're a not-for-profit or non-profit, like a Chamber of Commerce might be, where it's easier to say that you're donating some money or a gift basket or whatever. And for some reason, that's more widely understood than just the fact that a full-time, largely volunteer individual or person might actually need to pay the bills also. So,
right.
My spin on that, and I agree that we should try and put something together at some point. Well, we, in the spirit of someone like Pippin, who puts out the transparency report about his businesses and everything,
yeah,
too, I think very similar along those lines. But I think
exactly.
I think the key is what you clued into earlier, is it does really help to have relatively strict goals that you're hoping to achieve with whatever the amount of money is that you're trying to raise. I think it helps. It helps everyone else understand if it's something that they also believe in or support, and then they're more likely to try and openly do that with their wallets instead of just their time or whatever else. So,
yeah,
with me, I
think that is key.
Improvements to the BBs, it was because there were things that were kind of pent up and waiting, and there were people that wanted to see those things get pushed through. And so that was kind of an easy sell for me. And so for you and HeroPress, or even for Bob, knowing what it is exactly that you want to achieve, scholarships, getting people to different places, getting a better looking website, outsourcing it to a designer to make something look a little prettier, whatever you think that those things are. You know, you can do all of, we can all do all of it ourselves, but
that's, oh yeah, sure.
But, it'll just take 50 times longer, and
exactly.
Who's got time for that? So, I agree. I would help. That sounds fun.
All right.
Well, there you have it. Look at that. We're all working together. It's a collaborative effort here on WordPress, WordPress Weekly. So other than that, Topher, any other things you got in the oven that you're working on that you want to tell us about?
Oh boy. No, not really.
I'm giving you free rein on the show. That doesn't happen very often to my guests.
Yeah. Making videos for Brent and doing HeroPress and having a full time day job eats up all the time that I don't spend with my family.
Mm.
And actually more time than it really should. I'm looking forward to somehow backing off one of them.
So, will you be at WordCamp US this year by chance?
Planning on it.
Okay.
Planning on it. I have a ticket and an Airbnb.
Nice.
So, if something doesn't happen, I'll be there. And I have HeroPress stickers.
Nice.
So,
I want one of those.
They go first to contributors. But I have far more than I need for just the contributors. So, Jeff, you can have one.
We got to talk to James Tryon and get him to create a bunch of the HeroPress Wapoo pins, and then you can give those out.
Yeah.
That would be an excellent swag item.
I have a HeroPress Wapoo that Michelle made.
Yes. See? So it's all working out. The plan's coming together.
There you go.
Because those pins James makes, I don't know who his manufacturer is, but the pins that they make look really good.
Yeah, I have a bunch.
Excellent. You know, I don't see any Wapoo on the HeroPress site. I mean, I searched for Wapoo just now.
There's and couldn't find them. Oh, that's interesting. There's a blog post somewhere.
I found the blog post, but I don't see the cool HeroPress looking.
Oh, we're going to have to put him on here somewhere.
Yeah, maybe I'll tweet it about it.
To tie him to the branding.
Is it a Wapoo with like the HeroPress mask on its Wapoo face?
Yeah, he's wearing a blue mask, and of course the shield is the HeroPress shield.
That's cool. That's awesome.
I can't believe I didn't do a blog post about it.
Yeah, it's on wapoo.us. He's got the cape and the mask, and he's holding the HeroPress symbol. It's pretty cool.
Yeah, it is on the master.
That's cool.
Collection.
That's cool. So great to hear about the advancements of HeroPress. Excellent to hear that you're continuing your video training series over at on the YouTube channel Winning WP. And glad to have you around to teach people these things that they may not know about, whether it's web hosting or, you know, these days, WordPress itself. You know, how do you explain what WordPress is to people? Yeah, try that one out for size. But
it gets harder and harder as years go by.
Before you go, Topher, I want to say that I really appreciate that you are like a WordPress family. Like your entire family is helping out or involved or traveling the world with you guys when you go, and really deeply cares about what other people are working on and tries to get you all are actively active, like purposefully, intentionally, really trying to stay involved with everything. And one, I think it's rare to watch an entire family function at like such a good and healthy level. And two, that you guys are all so deep into and invested and happy in the WordPress community. It's like rare for a couple of reasons. And so I think it's just, one, I think it's really cool. But two, I think you guys are you kind of raise the bar for what a contributing family could or should look like or can achieve together. So I, from afar, have admired it and think it's I just think it's really cool. I think you guys are doing an awesome job together and set a good pace and tone for other people.
Do you think we could do a show called The DeRozas? We just follow him around as he's committing code and stuff.
I don't know. But I really appreciate you saying so. Now I have a better reason to make my kids listen to this podcast. But the WordPress community has given an enormous amount back to my entire family. Each of us individually have gotten something different than the rest of us in the family. And I'm thinking there's probably a really good blog post there about the value of a family being involved. So now I have to put that together. Thanks.
There's no WP hug like the one your wife gives, let me tell you. That's awesome. And like I've always said on this show, that your family's great, your wife's great, and the entire family being involved is a wonderful thing. Topher, thanks a lot for being on the show today. All the best to you and continued work on HeroPress and your video tutorials on winning WP. If people want to keep track of you and stalk you or become a fan, stalking fan, you know, same thing in today's day and age. How can they keep track of you?
I am Topher1 Kenobi just about everywhere. Always on Twitter, always on WP Slack. I have a Facebook page, but I don't log in very often, about once a week to publish HeroPress. Mostly Twitter and Slack. But I'm always around.
Excellent, man. All the best to you, and hope to see you at WordCamp US.
You bet.
Awesome. Take care. So that was Topher DeRozas of HeroPress fame and doing those excellent video tutorials over at Winning WP. And of course, we'll have links to those and to the YouTube channel in our show notes. John, we've got a lot to cover today, especially near the end of the show. I really want to talk about this subject with you, about the blue-collar WordPress worker and the 2,500 sites built on to grow the CMS. I think we could have an excellent conversation there. But before we get to that point, Press This has been removed from WordPress 4.9 in favor of a plugin. I hear all the sighs. Yes.
This breaks my heart. I really like Press This.
You're being serious.
I am being serious. I used Press This, especially when it just got a revamp. It like just got a new UI, and it got like a lot of effort went into making Press This good. And
not too long ago, it had got a redesign, actually.
It did. And I think I don't like this because I really like what Press This stood for, in the same way that I really like what the blog role feature in WordPress stood for, which was XFN, which was the Extended Friends Network, which was a whole actual protocol on the web for how to link back and forth through to things. So seeing the idea of Press This, which made it super easy to publish to your own website, go away, breaks my heart, because it's now so easy to open up Twitter or open up Facebook and just shove an update at everybody. It should be just as easy to do that on your own WordPress site. And the fact that we're pulling, the fact that that feature is being removed because of it just wasn't used and wasn't that popular, stinks. I think WordPress needs to be as easy to post into as a Twitter and Facebook and everything else. And the fact that it never got there breaks my heart.
Well, Andrew, as a core contributor, said in a ticket proposing the feature's retirement, says that bookmarklets were popular 7-8 years ago and now are considered mostly old tech. And the Press This usage was dwindling, or has been dwindling, for the last several years. Currently, it's at or under 0.2% of the WP admin request, as far as they can tell. It seems best to extract it from core to a plugin, similarly to the importers. Its use or its lack of use is one reason, but you know, I kind of wonder how they came up with those numbers. How are they tracking that, by the way? I mean, somehow they would have to be able to track that. So that's interesting in and of itself. But there's this question of, well, What is press this without the bookmarklet? Because the bookmarklet made it very easy to, it automatically cited things, and it made the whole process very convenient. Now they're sort of taking that away due to security issues. And Brandon Kraft says that the usage of bookmarklets across the web has decreased significantly, and bad actors attempting to trick users to perform unsavory actions increased over the years through these types of bookmarklets. So he says, coupled with advancing toward a new editing experience in Core, which is Gutenberg, they have decided that it was a suitable time to make these changes in one swift move. So if you visit the Press This page in WordPress 4.9, you actually see that the Press This plugin is required. Notice you'll be able to install it there. But even if you install the plugin, the bookmarklet has disappeared, and the code for it is gone. It's not available. So there you have it.
Yeah.
Rest in peace, Press This.
I don't disagree. Features like this that don't have heavy use, they are ripe for the chopping block. They're cutting it is the right thing to do. It just still makes me sad.
Mm. So Bianca Wells, congratulations to you. She was awarded the Kim Parcell Travel Scholarship. And Bianca lives in Jamaica. She's been using WordPress since 2005. We actually featured her on the Tavern back in 2015, where she provided a lot of insight into the Jamaican WordPress community. A really cool post that that we linked to. She will actually be presenting at WordCamp US on how a couple is using WordPress to try to increase understanding and participation of the deaf community in Jamaica. That in itself sounds really interesting. She also mentioned that she's identified a few members of the WordPress community in her area, and she's attempting to build up this nucleus to start a meetup. She's got meetups scheduled for December and January, and they're also going to be working on a workshop series, so a bit of a un-WordCamp type of deal at their local meetups. They've tried to do this before. It kind of lost steam, so after a little bit of a break, she's getting back into it, get that renewed energy, renewed motivation to do it. So congratulations to Bianca, and I can't wait to meet her in person at WordCamp US. And if you happen to see her, stop her, say hi, congratulate her. And if you have any questions about the Jamaica WordPress community, I'm sure she would be the one to give you the answers.
Yeah, it's super awesome. It's I'm excited to meet her too, hopefully. I mean, if there's not 2,000 people trying to...
That's the thing. Yeah. You have a list of people you want to meet at WordCamp US, and at the end of the weekend, you met maybe two of them.
Yeah. Yeah. That's right. hopefully, Bianca, if we run into each other, I'm excited to congratulate you and meet you and all of those things. It's cool. It's really great.
And people geared up for WordCamp Europe, you can grab an early bird ticket as they are now on sale. WordCamp Europe 2018 will happen in Belgrade, Serbia. Very cool location, from what I've been told. June 14th through the 16th. Attendees who purchased a ticket before December 31st, 2017, will receive a limited edition swag item. So a batch of 1,000 early bird tickets were released. Looks like more than 10% have already been purchased on the first day of sales. Tickets are €40 and include 2 days of presentations, lunch, coffee, snacks, t-shirt, and a ticket to the after party, and it also gives you access to the contributor day. Now, keep in mind the tickets are non-refundable, so if you happen to purchase a ticket today, you won't be able to refund it. The best thing you'll be able to do is maybe give it away or maybe resell it to somebody else. But there were some interesting things about last year's WordCamp EU is that they opened up early access tickets pretty early, and they sold quite a few, but they actually ended up with a 24% no-show rate at the actual event. They expected more than 3,000 attendees, but only 1,900 showed up.
I was one of those 24%.
Ah,
I was definitely one of them. And it was like my eyes were bigger than my stomach. I was like, of course I'm going to go to WordCamp Europe. Like, there's no way I'm not going to WordCamp Europe. And the contributor summit and everything that was going on there, like, yes, for sure I'm going. And then it was just too expensive for me at the time to swing it. By the time it was all said and done, there was just no way that I could afford to go. I also waited too long to actually plan anything, which is, I guess, you know, if you know me, might might or might not be the way that I generally go about things anyways, but I was totally one of those 24%.
So they're hoping that by opening up early bird access tickets later, that they'll still be able to sell them, but yet they'll have a decrease in the no-show rate.
It was really hard for me to not buy an early bird ticket for next year again. I was like, oh yeah, that's awesome. Of course. Yeah. Boom. Like
yeah. Who knows what might happen.
Let's make sure that, I know I'm actually going to go. So,
yeah. All right. So I've said the word earlier in the show. Let's talk about it a little more. Why not? Gutenberg contributors explore alternatives to using iframes for metaboxes. So I would say one of the hottest debates and topics this year as it relates to Gutenberg is how it will handle metaboxes. That is, a UI for interacting with data in WordPress is pretty much the plain language version of what a metabox is. So if you use Yoast SEO or maybe Advanced Custom Fields, there are these boxes where you can manipulate or add data to WordPress. Currently, Gutenberg has or didn't have any support for these metaboxes. It's kind of like Calypso. So if you're using Yoast SEO and you use that interface to publish and manage content, you had no access to those metaboxes. You couldn't control that data. So there's been a lot of discussion on, well, how are metaboxes going to be handled and how can we do it in a way that doesn't break backwards compatibility and so many other facets to this conversation? Well, they've recently put in iframes to try and do metaboxes through iframes as an experiment. But it turns out that approach has significant performance drawbacks. It's not the greatest implementation of how to use metaboxes. So there's this long conversation with developers and core developers on why it's totally not a good idea. In fact, there's a later article where Matthias Venturis, hopefully I got his name right, he actually confirmed that, yeah, it looks like based on this experiment, this is not the way we're going to go. So we could probably easily roll this out as a method to use a metaboxes in Gutenberg, so we don't have to worry about that. So we'll have to see what the next sort of experiment is, but the amount of discussion taking place, I mean, developers are very keen on what's going to happen with this particular issue with metaboxes because, I mean, they're very important. It's how many people access, manipulate data. I mean, advanced custom fields, there are so many plugins out there who have their own custom metaboxes, and to have an interface that A, currently doesn't support them is, I mean, I can see how it'd be very troubling, especially if you're a plugin developer of a popular plugin.
Every plugin that does anything with custom post types uses metaboxes heavily. It relies on the metabox API to function. Every single one of them does. The thing about iframes is it was never a good idea. Like nothing about iframes for metaboxes was a good idea. They could have used Flash and it had the same result where everyone would have said, oh no, that we can't, there's no way this is a good idea. But it did two things. It got people talking about it, which is important because everyone went, oh, well, no, of course not. Are you serious? You're using iframes? Yeah, no, that's not okay. And now let's talk about what is okay. And then two, it set the bar low enough where no idea was a bad idea. Which is really important when you want to talk about stuff like this. When you want to solve really challenging technical issues, someone needs to be willing to stick their neck out and say, okay, we don't really know that we exactly how we want to solve this really big complex problem. Here's the best we can come up with today and tell us how bad that it is. And if it's really great that we're a community of people that are willing to experiment with these kind of things. If we didn't have that freedom, I don't know that we would ever really get anywhere or get much accomplished. So it was never a good idea, but I am really happy that they tried it because without trying it, we wouldn't have had the discussion that we had. So hats off to all of them for not only just the Gutenberg team for trying and putting something in there experimental wise, because got to do it, but also to everyone else that passionately got involved. But the one thing, if I'm going to be critical about no one in particular, because I really don't remember any of the comments that happened, I just don't get how nasty people get about stuff like this. Like, people are real passionate about it, but like, when I say that iframes were never a good idea, it isn't about any one specific person or their idea or any individual. It's just technically this is not a good way to solve this problem. But a lot of people take it maybe a few clicks more on the personal side of it, where
like for example, Tammy Lister, she is the product design lead right now for the Gutenberg project, and
one of my favorite people and a longtime Buddy Press contributor.
She's engaging in conversations on the Tavern comments, GitHub, in the comments on what's going on here, and some of the things she says gets turned right around back at her, and some people are saying there's no way she could be in a position to lead this project. Look at what she's saying, you know, taking things to the personal level, and this in turn kind of, you know, we'll talk about this.
It's nasty. It's not right. It's not right. It's nasty. It's not right. And I don't know. It bums me out. And it just feels like we are mature adults that are not just grown-up children that should be a little bit better at giving each other the benefit of the doubt, or about having an open mind about some of these things, or about, I don't know, being a little bit more friendly with one another, because you know, you're going to have to see each other at a WordCamp eventually and say hello and shake a hand. I would rather have a hug than a smack across the mouth. It just is,
So something that recently came, a conversation I recently had with somebody very close to the Gutenberg project, and something that we'll talk about when we have Matt on the show. We plan to have Matt on the show hopefully by the end of this month, is the psychological, emotional, and perhaps even physical impacts that working on Gutenberg has had on the people very close to the project. I mean, mm-hmm. we're talking about going through so much friction that this could really give them, you know, this could be such a negative experience that they may never even think about contributing to Core ever again, or being a part of a project that is the kind of scope and in a way of changing things that Gutenberg is. And I wonder internally how much burnout has happened, how much quicker it's happened. And I know that Matt can only shield people so much and for so long, but I wonder deep down, you know, within at every turn, the Gutenberg team and the people involved are having to face friction and having to answer questions and having to put out fires that people are creating all the time. And it's got to take its toll, and it's got to take its toll relatively quickly, instead of everybody just kind of, I mean, like you say, look, it was never a good idea, but I'm glad we're having this conversation, and this is where we're going to go from it. I mean, sort of this general even keel way, instead of, well, my business and my livelihood relies on this, and if you go this way, which I think is a dumb idea, then you're personally responsible for me not being able to pay the bills. Mm-hmm. I mean, I just wonder, I know a lot of people are going through some real struggles right now contributing to WordPress. In fact, somebody even brought it up on Twitter, and I saw Ryan McHugh make a comment regarding his work on the REST API that yes. working on that really...
The thing is, it's not even like it's a thankless job, because there is lots of kudos and accolades. Everyone is appreciative of the work that's going. I mean, not everyone. I'm speaking very broad strokes. That there, it's not like there's a lack of appreciation. I just think that big initiatives like these. I guess let's name a bunch of them off. If it's not Gutenberg, then
it's the REST API.
The REST API, or the multi-site merge, or
I don't know if we could add in MP6 into there.
Not really, but there was a little bit of I admittedly was not a believer in what that became. I was against it, not like nasty against it, but just like, oh, you know, like it was not a thing that I was super supportive about. And crazy horse or any of the older features, or and the BBs have seen their fair share there. WooCommerce goes through its own things. Like, it reminds me a lot of like growing up, or like, you know, college. Going to college for a lot of people is like the best and worst time of their lives, because they're crunching through an insane amount of work with, you know, people that maybe aren't helping them be the healthiest people on the planet. But then you look at it 10 years later and it is, you know, the best time of your life or whatever. So I think that it's important that, I mean, this is my roundabout way of trying to tell all the folks that are working on Gutenberg that they should keep their heads up. And the way that the Gutenberg story gets told will not be from all of the like haters and the negativity. It will be based on the enormous amount of work and effort and success that a project like Gutenberg sees. It just, when you're in the moment, I mean, gosh, it was just Veterans Day. Anyone that's served has been literally in the trenches with one another, doing the hardest work that there is to do. And they come out of it and it changes them. And you look back on that time years later and you find a different type of appreciation for it. So people get burnt out and they are in the moment and it's not a cool deal, but you know, everyone will live for a better day. So.
And as a side effect to the conversation about iframes and metaboxes was this conversation about Gutenberg or the Gutenberg team needing a new communication strategy. And this kind of led to Morten Rønn Hendriksen to create a new issue where he succinctly outlines a document that can serve as a plain language outline of Gutenberg's scope, direction, and goals, which I think is a great idea, because if you look, I mean, I think it's a sign when you have Matt Mulloway publishing a post, Matthias publishing a post, and some other folks close to the project publishing their own posts on why Gutenberg is important, the vision of Gutenberg, where it's going, what it's going to allow. But if you go to like the official project page, you don't really see that. You don't see the scope. And a lot of people, you know, if somebody were to ask me, what is Gutenberg? My plain English version to them would be, well, it's a new editor that turns everything into a block. I don't even know if that's accurate, you know, but it's gone from replacing or enhancing the editor to the whole page now, because that's why we're talking about metaboxes. But so they're working on this document, and I think to get everybody on the same page in terms of vision and scope, I think would be one of the great things.
I'm going to poke a hole in this and play devil's advocate, not because I don't think it's a good idea, because projects should have some semblance of a vision and a roadmap. And WordPress has even been criticized for its lack of leadership or lack of vision or whatever.
Roadmap.
And there are times where I also don't disagree, but there are times where I kind of appreciate the freedom that a project like WordPress and the contributors have to influence the direction that it's going. But if we use the ship of Theseus metaphor that has been used frequently and to describe the Gutenberg project, if you could plan how you would replace every board in the ship, it wouldn't. The metaphor isn't the same metaphor anymore. I think everyone, without being direct about it, has been saying Gutenberg is kind of being shaped and molded and chipped away at as they go, like on purpose. It is a feature of the leadership of that project to have the freedom to learn and experiment with what a block-based editor inside of WordPress looks like. And in order to do that, you sail a little bit, a board rots and falls off, and you replace that board with something a little bit better. And you keep going, you keep trugging through, you change course when you need to, a board falls off and you replace that board. And by the time that you're done, you end up with a new ship. And now that you have the new ship, you can look back and see where you lost all those boards, but you could never have predicted where you were going to lose those boards in the journey. So I think the writing is on the wall here that while it's nice to have a vision, it is unlikely that there will be a very strict adherence to a vision for Gutenberg, period. I just don't see it happening. End.
And that's something I can't wait till we get into the Gutenberg stuff when Matt gets on the show. It's going to be some great conversations. If you use the WP Spam Shield plugin, bad news, you're going to have to find an alternative. It's been removed from the WordPress.org plugin directory this week due to what the plugin review team has deemed a violation of the guidelines and possible miscommunication. About 2 weeks ago, the author of WP Spam Shield and the author of the Plugin Organizer plugin exchanged contentious remarks in a support forum thread where each accused the other of targeting each other's plugins. This resulted in both parties adding code that disabled the other's plugins, and both were asked by the plugin. I'm sorry if it's laughing, but just war within code, it seems. It just seems funny to me, but asked by the plugin team to remove the code. Now, WP Spam Shield's author, Scott Allen, published an account of his interactions with the plugin team with updates for his users, and Mika Epstein, who is a member of the plugin review team, pretty much laid out the options that were available to him as far as changing his plugin goes, and that he had violated the forum guidelines and rule number 9, intentionally attempting to exploit loopholes in the guidelines, but he would have nothing of it. Allen says that his experience with the plugin, or his experiences with the plugin team over the last 10 years, have now caused him to decide to move his plugins off of WordPress.org. And now he's trying to figure out how he's going to tell all his users about the move and how he's going to update the plugin. And so he's got 7 different plugins. WP Spam Shield was installed on more than 100,000 WordPress sites before it was removed. So how about that? Kind of a plugin code war. And then there were some issues with communication between some of the plugin authors and the plugin review team. Otto, in fact, in a Facebook thread, kind of apologized and admitted that his responses were probably not the best, and that he will learn from his communication and his responses to these in this situation to be better about it in the future. But if you use WP Spam Shield, you're going to have to find an alternative.
I'm
surprised. Or at least keep an updated on the developer's blog.
The thing about it is, it's not like plugins are sandboxed the way that apps are. You know, like on your phone, you download something from the Android store, from the iOS, like Apple's either store for macOS or whatever. Those apps are sandboxed. They don't have an option to talk to one another directly. They just can't. There's unsavory ways to try and pull it off. But for the most part, they're in their own little environments. But with WordPress plugins, you're running right alongside with WordPress. So I'm surprised that more plugins haven't. Said, oh, well, if you're using this and this, well, don't let that happen because it doesn't do this.
I was under the impression that this happens all the time. Like if you're using a caching plugin and you install another caching plugin or something, it will notify and say, hey, this plugin is running. Maybe you would like to disable it, or it gives you the option to disable it. The notification, I think, is fine. It's the actual disabling the other plugin that crosses the line.
But there are plenty of plugins that turn off Jetpack features, or the airplane mode plugin, right? That just turns off phoning home or turning off core updates. And so there's a fine line with all of it. And I think it falls in like the spirit of what's best for a user or not. I'm shocked this doesn't happen more. And I bet we'll probably see a little bit more of this happen over time because the lines are a little fuzzy. Even the way that the policies and everything in the plugins repository are worded, room for interpretation.
I'm gonna create a social blog and I'm gonna be like, I don't like you, John. And anytime somebody installs it, bye bye, Buddy Press.
That's okay.
I'm sure we'll be okay with that. And then me and you, we can argue in the forum, in public, on display, and they will be tweeted.
What forums? You don't have forums on the Tavern. We'll have to do it on Twitter.
sick burn. Anyways, that's what's going on with WP Spam Shield. I apologize. It sucks for the users out there and for any of the 7 plugins. So, I mean, it's a bad situation because now you have no idea that the plugin's been removed.
So what was – I didn't read the end of the article. So what is the result? They ended up – they fixed a bug, they've patched it, or they pulled it, or there's like a last version.
He's pulled all his plugins off the repository, and now he's in the process of figuring out how he's going to notify those users and get them onto, a different branch or something.
Yeah.
Maybe something that's maintained on GitHub. So situation overall there.
Everyone take a breather, right, and give it some time, and hopefully everyone can afford to take some time and figure it out and come back. I mean, yeah, in my early days of helping out in the plugins repo, I had my fair share of interactions with people that weren't always 100% positive, but you try to work it out. You try to find a solution. It sounds like everyone is figuring out how to do that and work towards it. So hopefully that's where everything ends up.
One of the last things we want to talk about today is a great article by Matt Medeiros over there at MattReport.com. Hi, Matt, Matt M of the WordPress community. He published an article called The Blue Collar WordPress Worker and the 2,500 Plus Websites Built to Grow the CMS. And a lot of the article discusses the agencies, the developers, the consultants who are selling WordPress to clients, and how it seems like many of them are sort of being written off as being part of the growth of WordPress, and how they don't necessarily have a voice in the direction of the project. And he encourages everybody to speak up and to share their opinions, and sort of reminds everyone that, hey, you know, these are the people with the boots on the ground. These are the people selling WordPress to people. You know, there are so many people out there who have no idea what to do or what to use, and they end up on WordPress because a person they trust told them to use it, or their developer or consultant told them to use it, that it would be the best solution. And, you know, it makes a lot of sense to me that, yeah, I think a lot of WordPress's growth could be attributed to these people, the boots on the ground, the developers, the agencies who are selling WordPress to all these individuals, to their clients. Mm-hmm. And to that effect, I was thinking today, because I mean, the closest I get to selling WordPress to somebody is sort of suggesting it to someone, but, you know, that doesn't happen that often today, because I think of I would be the one that they would call for support, and I really don't want to be that person. But how much is it a pain in the rear today? Maybe even, in fact, from a few years ago, and Matt mentions on selling WordPress to somebody, because of now you've got the brand confusion of WordPress.com and WordPress.org. They've got Jetpack and all these other things that just makes WordPress a hard sell.
I think if you're selling WordPress, you're selling the wrong thing, I guess. Like, you should be selling, Matt made this point a little bit in his article, but I want to emphasize it, that if anyone is still selling WordPress, that is, for most, I think, people now, starting to be not the thing to sell. You should sell what you have to offer, and WordPress just happens to be the hammer with which you pound the nails to build the thing that you are eventually inevitably building for someone. I think it's really great that we all love WordPress enough to share, or want to share, or want to bring people into the thing that we also love. And I have lots of friends that love the Green Bay Packers, and I hope to eventually go to Lambeau to see a Packers game. But it is unlikely I will ever love football. I just won't. And so most people won't love WordPress. They're just going to use it as the thing that they use. Like Topher said earlier, they love the product, but they don't log into it. They don't remember how to add a new post. That is most people. And most people don't care where their brake pads came from or what the pieces are. And so maybe I'm just feeling critical today. I don't, maybe not. But a lot of what Matt's posts, and I listened to the whole thing. Matt, if you're listening to this, I listened to your podcast while I read the transcript.
I was actually doing that too.
I did both, which helped me comprehend a little bit more about all of it. And we've all known Matt. I've known Matt a very long time. And so a lot of what's here isn't anything new for me, but it, I don't know that the group of people that he's talking about that are the consultants are underrepresented. I think maybe they, I would say, under-endorsed. Like, the WordPress community does not officially have a place to endorse the consultants that do kind of spread the WordPress word around. There are lots of volunteers and individuals. There are lots of developers. There are lots of designers. There are lots of VIP-style consultants and agencies and hosting companies. Those are all endorsed in some way. There's a, if it's a Slack channel, if it's a, something on the About page, and so on and so on and so on. But the small, the individual to small to medium-sized agency consultants don't have an endorsement. They represent themselves. They're, like Matt has said in his podcast, as a as an as someone with a deep roots in sales, and not just any sales, but automobile sales, which is like insanely hard as a business to be in. Not just because it's competitive, but because there's a stigma of what car salesmen are, and you have to try and fight against that anyways. So Matt knows what it's like to push a boulder up a hill. And so it kind of bums me out that his experience as an individual or a small agency with WordPress is that he still feels like he's pushing a boulder up the hill. And to me, that means that there should be more appreciation and probably more recognition of the individuals that are really getting and shipping 2,500 sites or more, 500 sites or more, 50 sites or more. Is still, there are people that do 50 sites a month that just crank them out. Those are like the unsung heroes that are really pushing WordPress as a platform. And that is a story that deserves to be told, I think. And that's kind of what Matt's blog post is all about. But I think that as a car salesman, as a salesman of anything, most really good salesmen that I've ever known in my life, they represent themselves. Yeah, they're employed by a company to sell whatever they're selling. But I like, if I like the person, I will usually buy the product. If I trust the person, if I believe in what they're selling, I'm gonna go with it. And so there, Matt has always represented himself, I think, really well. So I think the community or WordPress.org, and to that end, the part of the plan for the BBs.org's redesigns, which we've talked about on previous episodes, is to show more appreciation for everyone that is helping push the platforms forward. So maybe that's something to bring up with Matt, the other Matt M, is whether or not there's opportunity to, or HeroPress, heck, let's tell more of those stories on the HeroPress side, and then we can back channel them into WP Admin and the dashboard and WP Planet, and start telling the stories of the people that are shipping this many sites and what their experiences are, because Matt's right. This is a different type of contributing that that just doesn't get a lot of attention.
I think there's a lot of great quotes too at the bottom of the article, and one from Brian Link, who's got 15 WordPress websites under his belt. He says, I would bet only a handful of my clients in the history of my business would have found WordPress on their own without me. The setup process for anything other than a basic blog is too much for average users in my experience. A lot of my clients are in an industry with high turnover, and it's a constant struggle to onboard new employees on the inner workings of the WordPress admin. Yep. End quote. So you've got those people, those trainers and consultants who are, selling WordPress, selling people on the benefits in the use of WordPress as a platform.
There's a ton of good quotes in here.
Yeah, a lot of good quotes.
I know you highlighted Aaron's. Aaron Hockley, WordPress has grown not because everyday users prefer it, but because the people that they trust prefer it. And that, I thought,
by and large, word of mouth advertising and word of mouth trust is, by and large, I think, one of the single largest contributors of WordPress's growth over all these years. In fact, Matt recognized that and is one of the things he highlighted in the 2016 State of the Word, which is when this idea of a WordPress Growth Council came about.
Yep. And that's my point is Aaron's point, totally accidentally, is people like Matt Report Matt that are out there selling WordPress. They're selling their abilities and their tools and their plugins and themes and everything else that just happen to leverage WordPress as a platform. The people that say yes and spend money is because they trust the person that sold it to them. And so those they are the people that adopt WordPress.
I think we're people in this realm, this dev, this agency, that this convincing users that WordPress is a good option and contributing to the platform's growth. I think where they get miffed is hearing comments, even though they might be true, is that remember when Matt commented on the growth of WordPress? It might have been at Pagely where he said Jetpack is one of the major reasons why we've had so much growth in WordPress. How many people were miffed over that?
Yeah, I remember that.
I think that's I think that's one of the reasons and one of the statements where a lot of these people who are in this environment feel like they don't have a seat at the table, or they're just ignored, that they're that they've got all these clients and all these other people they've influenced that WordPress is a viable option, and they've put them on this platform to help it grow, and yet it's like they don't exist, or you know, they don't have a seat at the table. No, it's Jetpack that's what's got us this far.
Well, yeah, it was sort of. I bet, and Matt's been pretty open about his perspective on stuff. I bet if you asked Matt today, he'd probably give a different answer. Maybe not. Maybe we'll when he's on the show, I'll ask him again. But I read an interesting article on it was on the GQ.com, which I hadn't read as a magazine in like years. But it was about Andre 3000 did an interview. Somebody interviewed Andre 3000 from Outkast, and I had thought like, oh, I love a lot of their music and what he does. And but unfortunately, because of the web or just the general way that the world is today, it is sort of like a what have you done for me lately kind of environment. And so if you just don't hear about the cool stuff that someone is doing, they fall off the radar. And that's not because you don't care or like them or appreciate what they're doing. You just got other stuff that's happening or going on, or that's, I guess, being force-fed to you by algorithms on Pinterest or whatever, right? Like, if the smaller-ish individual-based WordPress builders aren't the thing that people are actively thinking about, then they should be, or they have to try and find a way to make sure people are talking about them. It's no different than, I mean, some of the perspectives that I've had over the years on BuddyPress and BBPress, where installs languish or feedback is largely, you know, like not super, you know, there's no amazing flagship feature in a release. If you think like, oh, well, it's kind of, we're not getting the response that maybe that we had hoped or whatever. And if that's what you're doing it for is the response, then priorities are maybe a little bit skewed, but also we have to do better at making sure that we're marketing ourselves and what we're working on and doing. And I'm just not comfortable doing that. So we have to get comfortable doing that. We've got in a way that isn't like a turnoff to other people where every time that something usually comes up and like it was a WordPress core issue or a bug or something, it's actually really hard for me over the course of being in doing this for 10 years. Sometimes it's hard for me to not say, I told you so, or I have a ticket for that, or there's a bug for that, or I recognize that, or I saw that, or I tried to talk about that, because these are all ideas and things that I've mentioned in IRC or Slack or someplace in person at a thing that weren't ever priorities or good enough reasons at the time. And you kind of got to let it go. And if it's a thing that you had the chance to own, you should have owned it. I should have owned a million things, but just never had the time. I think it's if Matt wants to own this space for his people that he coincides with, that he believes with, that he is a part of, he might be the one. He might be the one that needs to take the ball and run with it.
Sweet. He can create his own growth council.
Maybe.
Yeah, maybe. That's what I'm
maybe
saying.
You should. I mean,
anyways, the article is a great read, a lot of food for thought in the piece. We'll have a link to it in the show notes. Really quick here, I want to get to our picks of the week. Mine is how to whitelist comments in WordPress. Now, if you run into a situation where, let's say, you moderate all comments. Now, WordPress in the back end has a way, has a blacklisting feature, so you could add in different parameters to blacklist comments. But if you moderate everything, there's no way to whitelist comments. So let's say you moderate all comments, but you want Matt Mulloway to have free reign to not go through the moderation queue. I came up with this plugin. In fact, I found it through a Google search. It's called Comment Whitelist. It hasn't been updated in like 9 years. But it was created by Alejandro Caravetto, and it adds a new box underneath the comment blacklist. It says comment whitelist, and it says any email addresses that are in that box will automatically be approved. And so you can moderate all comments, but the ones with the email addresses in this box will be approved. You don't have to worry about them. So, and it also adds a quick link. So when you're in the moderation page in the back end, there's a quick link that says add to whitelist. So you can click that. The email address of that comment will automatically be added to the whitelist box, and it takes care of everything for you. So that's all it does. It works. I tested it. Even though it hasn't been updated in like 9 years, it still works. Thank you for comments not changing that much over that time span. But that's my pick.
This is a good pick because this is such a good idea. Like this is especially for like multi-site installs or any site where you do have comments enabled. We have a blacklist. Why wouldn't we have a preferred whitelist of?
One of the downsides on this is it uses email addresses. So if somebody knows an email address that's whitelisted, they could use it to impersonate others, and it would get right through your spam queue, and you wouldn't be able to moderate it in time. But only you know. Mm-hmm. Who the whitelisted commenters are. So hopefully, that wouldn't become too much of an issue.
Right. Yeah, that's a good idea. My pick of the week is one I sort of stumbled upon on accident, but is also, I noticed, is listed under the beta plugins on WordPress.org. is a dark mode plugin by Daniel James.
Really?
Dark mode. So
I didn't know that existed, actually.
Yeah. So it's a plugin that adds a little bit of CSS to in darken to make dark more aspects of the WP admin interface. And so rather than it being a black or a red sidebar with a big white bright in your face body or WP body area, it just blacks everything out and then has nice blue or different contrast for the body of the admin area. And realizing it's in the beta means that there are more eyes on it, which I think is great, because the CSS that's in WP Admin over the years has become its own animal 100%. With display enhancements like OLED that actually save power by not lighting up pixels that aren't black, means that there's actually an energy saving if you have a plugin like dark mode installed and you happen to be on an iPhone 10 or a Samsung, whatever the flavor of those are these days, that happens to use an OLED display that can take advantage of that. So I thought that was pretty neat. It's only got about 90 installs because I think it must be pretty new.
Last updated 2 weeks ago.
Yeah. So it's not been around too long. Few reviews, largely 5 stars, 1 complaint, but for the most part, pretty simple. And there's a link on GitHub under Daniel's GitHub account. But it's
looks
just
like it was released back in early October, so very, yeah. Very new plugin.
So that's
that's awesome because I've actually been looking for a dark mode because I hate that blaring white. Now, I do use Flux. To actually control the kind of give me this yellow hue, and it changes throughout the day based on sunlight and what have you. It's a very cool app. I'm actually very thankful that they finally have a sort of like a night mode or something in the iOS now on the iPhone, because I used to have to use the Flux app on the iPhone, but now they built in. So I'm going to check out this dark mode, and there are different admin schemes. If I remember correctly, you could pick different admin schemes, and some of them may make some certain areas dark. But taking a look at the screenshots of this plugin, it looks like the theme I'm using, if I turn it on, it actually keeps to make everything dark, it makes everything pretty. I love I'm gonna have everything dark. So I'm actually gonna check this out. Your pick has surprised me. I'm very happy, John. I actually understand this pick of the week, finally. So we got that going for us. Excellent. And we'll have links to this both of our picks on the WP Tavern. So that being said, another epically long hour and a half show. There's always great stuff to talk about in the realm of WordPress. That's going to do it for today's episode. You can find show notes for today's show and all other episodes on WPTavern.com. And you can follow me on Twitter, JEFFR0, where I do now have 280 characters. Whoop-de-doo. That's all I'll say about that. And John, where can we find you at?
Twitter and GitHub at JJJ or JJJ.blog.
All right. So next week is our Give Thanks episode of WordPress Weekly, where we'll have a couple of things that we would like to give thanks to as far as it relates to WordPress, BuddyPress, maybe just open source in general, before we dive into the turkey. And then it looks like, let me double check here. Let me check my messages live on the air. Let's see, the 20th. So we might have Matt Mulloway on the 29th or possibly in December. We'll see. But he's a very busy man. So, and there's a lot of things coming up that he's going to be actively involved in. So who knows? But if we get him on before the end of the year, it'll be a big win for us. Looking forward to it. So, John, enjoy the rest of your week. Stay busy, stay thirsty. And I'll see you again next Wednesday. Say bye, John.
Bye, John.